from now until we get into heaven, we're going to fall short on a day in and out basis. We're going to need the blood of Jesus to cover us and the grace of Jesus to reconcile us back to Him.
This is The Uncomfortable Truth. Welcome back to The Uncomfortable Truth. We are glad to be back in a studio. You'll know, so if you watched the last episode, we're in the same studio that Rich Ishihara and I filmed our last episode in.
Hara.
Next to last.
Hara.
Ishihara. Ishihara. Richard. Rich is behind the camera. He volunteered to let us film in this studio, which is awesome.
Yeah, we're feeling pretty important right now. I feel
special.
I feel very special, too.
Like back in the day when my mama told me I'm special, I feel that special. I don't know if she meant it like that. Like, Shane, you're special. I'm like, I know, Mom. Yeah, so we usually start off with something uncomfortable. Recently, my daughter has gotten her permit. She's 15 years old, and she's been driving her mother and I just mostly on short trips to town and back.
Right.
School, occasionally an hour trip here and there just to get her some time behind the wheel. I don't really have a specific story behind this, but it can be a little uncomfortable. And you notice things that you've forgotten when you're teaching. Teaching is the best way to remember, right?
Right.
You notice things. This morning on the way to school, we're going down Highway 80, and we have to get in the left lane to get in the turning lane to go the back way to school because
she's driving.
Okay. You know traffic on school mornings. There's a lot of traffic. So first of all, it's hard to get in the left lane. Second of all, it's hard to get in the turning lane from the left lane because you're slowing down from 65
right.
or 70 sometimes on this short turning lane. She's trying to work her way into that left lane. Traffic is just buzzing by. We're going 60, 65. And one thing I forgot is that when your head goes one way, your hands go there too.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to remember when your kid's driving and you're over there in the passenger seat. So she's looking to the left and all of a sudden the car is about a foot in the other lane and I'm grabbing the wheel and easing it back over. There's a lot of uncomfortable moments.
When your new permitted driver
yes.
is behind the wheel.
There's absolutely is. And you have not zero control, but close to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, through those hectic moments as a teacher, I have to remain calm.
Let your blood pressure go out,
yeah.
go down.
I'm pretty good at it. Like, I, you know, it's different with her mama.
Yeah.
<imagine. laughs> foot up on the dash, you know. Slow down, it's going too fast.
Yes.
You know, and I have a little car that I drive sometimes, and Miller drives a little car, and you can just whip, you know, you can whip everywhere in that thing. And we take turns.
I saw something, I guess it was yesterday, the day before, and it was this guy, and he was taking a picture of him and his wife in his car, and he says, and his wife's looking at him, you know, just kind of frustrated. He's smiling. And it says something along the lines of, I'm glad I got married because 15 years ago before marriage, I never knew when to hit the brakes if there was a car in front of me.
Now you have an automatic signal when a foot goes up.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, I should be hitting the brakes. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's many things that I didn't know how to do.
Did Miller do driver's ed?
It's a home course.
So y'all didn't ever ride in the car where the passenger seat actually had a brake pedal?
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I never did that. Did you?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Yes.
You did actual driver's ed at school?
It was like a driving academy type
okay.
deal. And anyway, there was one time, where if he would not have hit that brake, we would be dead.
Were you driving?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It was on a yield on green.
Okay.
And I was like, green light, go.
Yeah.
I don't have to yield.
Yeah.
You know, and I start rolling. There's a car flying straight across the intersection, and I'm just rolling.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got the green.
Yeah.
You know, he hits the brakes, and he's like, what are you doing?
Oh, gosh.
Like, it's green. He was like, you got to yield.
He saved your life.
He truly did. He saved his life because it would have hit him.
Let's raise a toast to you driver's ed teachers, all you parents out there, and all you driver's ed teachers, we appreciate what you do when you're teaching kids how to drive.
Yes.
Courtney's dad did that for my wife, Courtney, her dad did that for 20 years, was a driver's ed teacher. And there's a lot of stories, like people will come up and tell me a story about him teaching them how to drive.
That's a risky business right there.
He wasn't a risky guy.
Yeah. You know, like you're talking about 15-year-olds that literally some of them aren't like Miller, you know, where mom and dad had them in the car, you know, for a couple years every now and again, driving on the back roads or in the pasture.
Yeah.
You know, the first time
they touch the steering wheel
is when they're in there with him.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, hey, which one's the gas again?
Yeah. I'm sure that he's like, he really recognized real quick the ones that mm-hmm. had never been apart, you know, in the car before.
Putting your life in any 15-year-old's hands is...
That's the uncomfortable truth.
That is the uncomfortable truth. Hey, open us up in prayer and we'll get started, man.
Yeah. Lord, we just thank you so much for bringing us here. Lord, we thank you for Rich, that he's provided us a wonderful place for us to sit down and continue our podcast. We thank you for loving us and for watching over our families. We're just so grateful for your provision over our lives. We're so thankful for just sending your son Jesus to die for our sins, Lord, so that we could have everlasting life. And we're just thankful for each other and our friendships and just everything you give us, Lord. Ask this in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
So hopping in, you know, we've shortened up our episodes a little bit just to, you know, kind of get a little funny, uncomfortable moment and also get a little meat off of the bone. So getting into kind of the meat portion, quick question for you.
Okay.
You didn't realize that you were going to segue perfectly into my question.
Fantastic.
So speaking of cars and driving down mm-hmm. the road, like you're driving down the road, you look at the dash, you're 20 miles from a gas station, and you look down and you realize that you're on zero. Like you're about to run out of gas and you had no idea. So like first thoughts, like boom, what do you do?
Look over at my wife and be like,
she's not in the car.
Oh, gosh. Because we're always in her car when I look down and that happens. Like, really?
She's not in the car. You are about to run out of gas. Where does your mind go?
The first immediate thing is like, is there any way to get out of this situation? Like, my brain starts going into problem-solving mode.
Right.
Okay, if I have 20 miles to go and the gas station is 30 miles away,
Does my car have 10 extra miles in it that I don't know about?
Yeah. Can I roll down these hills?
Yeah.
You know,
turn the AC off.
Right. All that's happening. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
And then I think after that, like if there comes to a realization that we're not going to make it, then you start calling people. Like, hey, I'm gonna run out of
how
gas.
How close is dad?
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's got probably a gas tank in the back of his truck.
Yeah. Right? If nobody answers, then you go in the problem solving mode of like, okay, how far am I going to have to walk?
So the point is, you know, the only fix to your situation in that moment is what?
Gas.
We got to get some gas.
Got to get some gas.
And at the end of the day, if you're running out of gas in your car, you know you need to go straight to the gas station.
Correct.
There's not another fix to that situation. You need more fuel.
You can't pee in a gas tank and get it to go any further.
That's right. That's right.
Gas is the only answer.
This isn't Back to the Future, you know, where you can just start
throw a banana in.
Yeah. Bananas and stuff in there. And so, you know, just kind of, paralleling that into, you know, what do we do when we run out of gas in life? You know, like... Where do we fill up our tanks? Where do we get energy? Where do we get refueled? What are we going to get refueled? There's a lot of different places that people go when they feel like their gauge is on empty. You know, when they feel like that there's not hope there. They can't find the hope in this life, in this situation and circumstance that they're in. They can't figure out, so they've lost any like sight of any type of solutions to fix whatever problem that they find themselves in. And it's like, where do we go? What do we do? What do you generally do in situations where you feel like you're at the end of your rope?
I mean, I'll tell you the negative side of what I do that I've recognized is I just shut down.
Yeah.
Personally, I know what I should do and where I should go to get fueled. I know what the answer to that is. that's not always what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just close off. And that closing off and could last for, it's almost a small state of depression is what it actually looks like. It could be 4 hours.
Right.
It could be 12 hours. It could be 48 hours. That doesn't solve it.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop me from trying to go sometimes.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. You know, and Pastor was talking about in church Monday a little bit, or Sunday.
Yeah. We got church on Monday, too. We're like that.
Sunday morning, first line of defense kind of situation. You know, like, what's your first line of defense?
He was talking about Abraham and Isaac, right?
That's right.
And Isaac, Isaac was 40 years old and hadn't been married. And back in Bible days, it was like you're almost dead and you ain't married if you're 40.
Right.
You know, and never been married. And Abraham had been through so many trials and tribulations in his life, and it had went the wrong way. And this time, he didn't.
That's right.
This time, he went to the source.
He went to the source. You're 40 years in. God promises you that you're about to occupy the world with your descendants. And you don't have an heir. You don't have one child. You're not even married.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Abraham's nearing the end of his life,
that's
too.
Right. That's
you know, exactly and he's right. He knew, like, God had promised those things.
It's like, that's a little anxious. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, you're like, what do I do? Where do I go? I need to take matters into my own hands here. Mm-hmm. That's what I need to do. I need to go and just marry the first girl that comes along. And again, our first line of defense is rarely what it should be. Rarely our first, our depending on the circumstance, you know, and it just seems like that prayer's last resort. It seems like going to the Lord is what we do when we're at the end of our rope, rather than what we do whenever the trial first begins. Mm. And we wait until we feel like we've done everything that we can do, rather than going straight to the source that promises he's going to help us get through the trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
You know, and
why do you think that is? Why do you think, I mean, do you think it's because in our hearts, sometimes we believe that prayer is not the true answer?
I think that the world teaches us and pours into our minds and on our ears that we are just, you know, we got to be problem solvers. We got to grind through this trial. The world, a lot of times, and in many cases of everything that we do in life, they're just louder than the voice that comes from a relationship with God. And I feel like that I'm going to choose to believe that we generally go there because we aren't necessarily aligned with God the mm-hmm. way that we should be.
So going there is going to cause other things to shift as well that we may not want to shift.
That's very possible. That's very possible.
The reality is that we're going to have problems our entire life.
Lots of trials.
Lots of trials. And I think there's two different ways to have a problem. You know, as problems build up and you get older, these problems seem more magnified and they're bigger risk the older you get. The risk of total failure is higher. And it's like all these things are compounding.
You have more to lose.
You have more to lose. And we can go through problems with peace or without peace.
That's right.
And there's only one way to go through it with peace.
Yeah, you're right. The Bible verse that I referenced today, it was Psalm 62:5-6. It says, "Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken." It's pretty clear there that the writer of this psalm is declaring that his soul needs to find rest in God. His hope comes from God. God is his rock, his salvation, his fortress. It's going to keep him from being shaken in his life. Mm-hmm. And I just think that we've got to remember where our strength comes from, that God is our Savior in every situation. And whenever we choose to take matters into our own hands, it's generally when things start escalating in a bad way, because God never designed it to be that way. And so I would just encourage our listeners to, rather than allowing prayer, going to God, going and just emptying yourself in him and in his arms, you know, in his security that he provides us and promises us every day, rather than waiting until the end of your rope to do that, just try to be intentional about going to prayer as a first line of defense. See what happens.
Yeah.
Just try it.
Yeah.
You know, just test the waters, you know, and see what happens whenever you start doing that. I really believe that it'll change some people's lives. And I think that they'll also be able to recognize when their prayers are being answered, you know, because a lot of people are like, I don't know if you're hearing me. I feel like I'm talking to a ceiling. And I believe that it'll allow people to start recognizing when God's really doing some really cool things in their life.
Yeah. You know, kind of close this thing out is, if for you self-critical people out there like myself, I'm sure we're both critical of ourselves and our actions and the output that we put out and the production that we have on a daily basis and whether we're being obedient or not. For us self-critical people, the act of obedience in a moment where you really don't feel like you want to be obedient is still obedience.
Absolutely.
Even if you don't feel it, like, I don't want to do this, I know I should do it, but I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. That is still considered obedience.
You could make an argument that that's even being more obedient.
Yeah.
In the moments where it's the toughest to desire to do it, you still fight through and do it anyway.
Yeah. All right, cool. Hey, that was the first episode with Obie and Shane. I think Sean will be here 2 episodes from now. And we'll continue to record in here for probably 6 or 7 years in Rich's studio. He's over there with the thumbs up. Again, thanks, man. We really appreciate you.
We do, for sure.
Go kick the day in the face, and we'll catch you on the next one.